Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you all for singing tonight. What a reminder. Psalm 100. Let's look at this very familiar psalm. And we're going to have a time this evening. All right. Psalm 100, if you want to stand with me, if you're willing and able, do so. And amen. Five verses, the Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. 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 What a psalm. Very familiar psalm. You can be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight again in the name of the Lord Jesus, I do pray that, Lord, You'd settle in here now as we've opened the Word of God. We've looked at it. We've read these verses, and Lord, we have studied these truths, and Lord, You've kind of directed our thoughts in a particular way for this psalm and this service. And Lord, we're going to need Your help tonight. I pray, Lord, that You'd send it, and that, Lord, You would fill us afresh and anew. Lord, teach us something. Stir our hearts together in this place. Help the church and help sinners, Lord, open their eyes to see their need of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, may You send a good revival to the hearts of God's people and Calvary Baptist Tabernacle tonight. Even in my own heart and my own family, Lord, You know what we need tonight. And Lord, we'll bless You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, amen and amen. Psalm 100 is likely, we believe, a psalm, another of the Psalms of David. I don't know the exact background that he's written this under, the situation surrounding the penning of this psalm, but no doubt David is the one that has authored this. This psalm for centuries has been simply known, I guess if you want to give it a nickname, it's been given a nickname called the Old Hundredth. The Old Hundredth, obviously a reference to the fact that it's Psalm 100, but by such a nickname, everybody understands it's the Old Hundredth. It's those five verses of Psalm 100, and how they've been such a blaze of fire to the hearts of God's people now, no doubt since the days, thousands of years ago, when David wrote it, to the very hour in which we've read it tonight and preach it to you this evening. This psalm has brought a lot of comfort and stirring to the hearts of God's people. We understand that this psalm is titled simply a psalm of praise. A psalm of praise. I believe it to be a psalm to stir us and to challenge us and to lay to the heart of God's people the importance of praising the name of our God. And this psalm is simply entitled a psalm of praise, and charging God's people to do such. Psalm 99, amen, was a psalm that stirred us and called us to exalt the Lord our God and to worship in His footstool and to worship at His holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Psalm 99 said His name is holy. And as such, we ought to bless Him and we ought to praise Him. And so Psalm 99 called upon us to worship the Lord for His holiness. But Psalm 100 calls us to praise the Lord for His goodness. Amen. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, it's all about make a joyful noise, sing, serve, enter His gates with thanksgiving, praise Him in His courts, be thankful unto Him and praise His name. And then he gives the theme of what should spark all of this, and that is that the Lord is good. Amen. And so we have many things to praise our God for. Amen. Psalm 99, we praise Him for His holiness, but in this psalm, we're given that angle to praise Him for His goodness. And may I say, He is both holy and good and should be praised, amen, for both. Amen. This psalm to me seems to have tones of exhortation to the Levites. When you read about these verses and what is being called upon these to do in particular, this psalm compels to serve, to sing, to praise, and to bless the Lord. And these are themes of the Levitical service under, amen, under the old law and the old way of worship there in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And some believe that this psalm was especially used in the second temple and the rebuilding of that temple there in the bringing of the peace offering. You'll read about that. I don't have time to do a study on the peace offering, but in Leviticus 7 verses 11 through 34, this peace offering was the sacrifice of thanksgiving offered in acknowledgement of God's special mercies and blessings that had been received in the lives of the people of God. And so they would bring that peace offering. You'll find that the peace offering, this sacrifice of thanksgiving that no doubt is being referenced in Psalm 100, that was the last of all the Levitical offerings that were given. And the fact that it's the last and the fact that we're to be doing here what David is calling upon us to do in the matter of giving of thanks, if it was indeed used as a part of the traditions of the peace offering, then this teaches us true praise and thankfulness comes only by appreciation for what Christ has done. Amen. And the burnt offering and all the meal offering and the wave offerings and the sin offerings and trespass offerings, all of these testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and the atonement that He would make for our sin. Amen. And after all His work is done, amen, then when we realize what He has done for us, amen, we are now then able to truly give Him thanks and praise. Amen, all thanks. And and Kathy gave a wonderful testimony tonight. Amen, and may I reiterate this evening that all our thanks for anything ought to stem from, amen, that I know Jesus bled and died and was buried and raised again, amen, for my justification, and that I could be saved, and amen, everything I have on top of that just stems from an acknowledgement that of what Christ has done for me. Amen. And so the second truth would simply be this. Amen. This matter, the peace offering and the using of this psalm during that time, is that true thanks and praise not only comes by appreciation and acknowledgement for what Christ has done, but comes only after our sin has been dealt with. Amen. I'm convinced tonight that the reason there are so many unthankful people is that there are so many unholy people. Amen. And so we understand tonight in the last days in Paul, dealt with the characteristics of these days in which we're living in, and people would be unholy and then they would be unthankful. And you'll never be a thankful person so long as you're letting sin build up in your life. Amen. There must be a dealing with our sin. You've got to bring it to Christ. Amen. You've got to confess it. You've got to repent of it. Amen. You've got to let Him cleanse it and wash it out of your life. Amen. And when you get clean, thank God, you'll be able to praise and to thank God again. I was listening to a message the other day on the Anchor Broadcasting Network there. Amen. They're preaching part of their app that they have. And just so happened when I clicked on it, Brother David Gibbs was preaching, and I love what Brother David Gibbs said in his message, it just about knocked me off my lawnmower. Amen, Brother Jack, while I was mowing. He said, we need to quit coming to God, trying to get cleaner, and come to God and get clean. Amen. And I thought, buddy, that is so elementary, but it's so deep, and we're missing it. Amen. We think that we can just get a little bit cleaner than we are. Oh, no. Amen. We've got to get clean. We've got to not get cleaner. We've got to get clean. Amen. And deal with our sin. And then, amen, we'll be able to fulfill the spirit of Psalm 100. Amen. And enter into the joy of our God. Amen. Amen. I feel like preaching. It's been, amen, it's, I've had to sit there and listen to all this good preaching. It's been firing me up. Amen. I'm glad I get to do some preaching tonight. Amen. Three times. Here's where we get our thought from tonight out of this psalm. Is that three times in this psalm, as I began to look at it afresh and anew for our study together, as we're preaching through the psalms, three times I see and note in this psalm, we see an emphasis made to God's people that we are to come before the presence of our King by entering His gates and courts. There He is. Amen. In verse number 2, come before His presence. And so there's the matter of, amen, we're trying and striving to attain to, amen, entering into the presence of God. You say, preacher, I thought God was everywhere at all times. And He is. We call that His omnipresence. Amen, that's what David spake of, that if He ascended in the heavens, the Lord would be there. And yet at the same time, if He made His bed in hell, God would be there as well. Amen, there's no place He could run so far that He could not outrun thee. Amen, the presence of the Lord as it is manifest in all places. And yet I don't believe that's necessarily what's in mind in Psalm 100. Amen, when He says come before His presence, that is, amen, that special place where His presence, amen, is particularly manifested, that, amen, that we're enjoying that joy that, amen, is found only in that revelation, that personal application. Amen, it's that place in at the throne of grace. It's that place, amen, on Zion's holy hill. It's that place within His house. Amen, where God has chose, my friend, to dwell, that He invites you tonight, amen, to be able to come before His presence. If we're going to do that, verse 4 said that you've got to enter into His gates, and then entering into His gates, you must enter in further into His courts. And I won't make it that far tonight. Amen. To elaborate on that, you don't want to miss next Wednesday night. Amen. I'll show you truth there. But, amen, for now, just pay close attention to the fact that this psalm is calling us into the presence of our King. And so if the Lord will help me for a moment tonight, we'll begin this psalm preaching on the thought, amen, coming into or before the presence of the King. Coming before the presence of the King. Amen. I think there's a lot of applications could be made in various ways of our spiritual lives. I think that when we pray, we could say we're coming before the presence of our King. And coming before the throne of grace and doing so boldly that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where do we find that? We find that coming before the presence of the King. I believe tonight that this can be applied to our corporate worship and the way that we come into the house of God. I heard or read this week somebody was getting on to somebody else for referencing the church as the house of God. And Brother Tim, here's what they said. They said, well, the church is not the house of God. Your body is the temple of God. Your body is the house of God. And that person was right in the sense that we are in body. Our body is the temple of God. This is His house and His dwelling. But Paul spake of the church a man and wrote to Timothy and said, I'm writing that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Amen. When you walked in them doors tonight, you weren't walking in the Masonic Lodge. Amen. You weren't walking into, amen, the dwelling place of some man or family of flesh and blood. Amen. When you walked through them doors tonight, you were entering it, amen, to a building that has been dedicated to, amen, being the house of God. Amen. This place is dedicated to the worship of His name. Amen. This is a particular place. Yes, God is in our house. Amen. Your house and mine, and God is with us. Amen. Some of y'all better thank God He is when you're out riding up and down the road. Amen. He's with you in your car. He's with you on the, amen, on the job, and He's with you everywhere you go. Amen. But ain't you glad we got a place here that, amen, we can enter into that special presence of God. So I believe we can apply this to our prayer life. It, amen, no doubt to our church life. It, amen, it can apply to our personal, amen, not just prayer time, but worship time. Is, amen, we don't just treat God like He's amen, some fast food restaurant and give Him our order and let me have it my way. Amen, but there ought to be personal, private times. Amen, where you go in the presence of God just to thank Him and praise Him. Amen, you ain't always got to pour out your heart and requests and burdens and needs. Amen, there ought to be times we just lift our hand and say, hey, Lord, I just want to come into your gates and into your courts and come before you and sing a song to you, all just you and me. Lord, I just want to come love on you and tell you how thankful I am for what you've done to me. Amen. That personal, private time of worship. Amen. You say, I don't know nothing about that. Well, maybe, amen, this week, next week, you'll learn a little something about it. Amen. And realize that, amen, if you're saved tonight, we've been saved to be, amen, priests unto our God. And so we're not Levites. We're not of the old form of worship and religion. But, amen, ain't you glad Psalm 100's given even the Gentile people? Amen. You say, no, it wasn't. You better read it again. Amen. Verse number 1 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. All ye lands. Amen. I'm glad this goes beyond the boundaries of Israel. Amen. I'm glad you ain't got to be of a Jewish bloodline to get in on this. Amen. I'm glad the spirit of Psalm 100, amen, still invites us and compels us and exhorts us to come before the presence of the King. Amen. And so if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on that thought. Amen. I'll give you at least the first one, maybe the second one. And no doubt I won't make it to the third one tonight. Amen. So let me show you the angle. I want to look at this, how the Lord's put it in my heart. I believe that as this psalm is exhorting us about coming before the presence of the King, and it is telling us what we ought to come with. It's giving us the how-to. Amen. Somebody said, boy, I would come before the presence of the King if I only knew how to. Well, the good news is Psalm 100 gives the how-to. Amen. If you want to know how to come before the presence of the King, amen, when you pray and in your personal worship time, amen, I thought about just preaching on how to come to the house of God. Amen, I believe you see that in Psalm 100. Amen, you ever wonder how you're supposed to come to church? Amen, you ever come in and go, boy, I ain't getting much out of this. Amen, ain't no blessing coming my way. There ain't much happening in my heart. Amen, and if you ain't careful, you'll start blaming that on the preacher. Amen, you'll blame it on somebody you're mad at that's in the same building with you. Amen. Well, I can't get nothing out of it so long as they're here and they're grieving the Holy Ghost. They probably ain't grieving it as much as you are with that attitude. Somebody help me now. Amen. 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 You ever wonder why? Amen. Others are getting blessed and they're making a joyful noise. They seem glad about serving God. And they seem happy. Amen. And thankful and got a testimony. Amen. Preacher didn't have to beg it out of them. They came in thankful and ready to give what? Amen. You ever wonder, amen, why there's maybe a disconnect in our heart? Could it be? Amen. We have lost sight of how to come in the presence of the King. Amen. If you'll take these three little thoughts out of Psalm 100, I believe this with all my heart. You'll never come in and be a never, amen, you'll never have another deadhead service. Amen. Amen. You'll never come in and leave empty again. If you'll apply Psalm 100 to your life, amen, we can have jubilee, we can have revival. Amen, we can see God do big things. Amen, we can just get a hold of the spirit of Psalm 100. Amen, amen. Some of y'all acting like you want to know something about it. Amen, you want number one? What's this? Number one, amen, if you're going to come in the presence of the King, amen, David said, do it with gladness. Amen, do it with gladness. Now let's be honest about it tonight. Amen, there's enough going on in our world to produce acres of sadness in our soul. Amen, we've heard enough bad news in the last, amen, since Sunday. Amen, about what's going on in our world. You may have got a bad report from the doctor. Amen, some got a good report. I know Jerry and Larry both got good reports, and we thank God for that. Amen, but what if you'd have got a bad report from the doctor? Amen, there's many others that have there. And there is things in this world, if, amen, we focus in on that, that will produce sadness. And ain't it amazing that, amen, the Lord in His Word with His disciples, amen, every time one of His children were sad, He'd come alongside of them and ask them, why are you so despondent? Why is it that you're exceedingly sorrowful? Amen, He'd make them get honest about what they'd have been thinking about. He'd make them get honest about what they'd been focused on. And then Brother Jack, he would reveal something about himself. Amen. And I'm glad if you come in sad, if you've been sad. Amen. There is a way to find some gladness, Seth. Amen. There is some things that in the midst of all the sadness, Seth, amen, that we can be glad about tonight. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen. Serve the Lord. Here's our word now. With gladness. With gladness. He didn't say come before the presence of the King. Amen. Dragging your tracks out and feeling sorry for yourself. Amen. Worried about Biden being in the White House. Amen. I know we get aggravated by all that. I do too. Amen. I'd love to smack him upside his God blessed head. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a bunch of crowd that, amen, if we look at them, we get so down that, amen, we get defeated and discouraged. And it's amazing how that kind of stuff affects how we come into the house of God. Amen. The White House ain't where my hope is anyway. Amen. I ain't looking to politicians to, amen, spark a little bit of glee and joy into my life. Amen, I'm looking to the only potentate. Amen, I ain't looking to their leaders. I'm looking to the Lord. Amen, I'm glad tonight we've got a God that wants His children to have gladness. Amen, you'll never come in the presence of the King and get anything out of it at, amen, without having some gladness. Amen. Oh, let me say tonight the description of these verses. Verses 1 and 2 now, with gladness. Hey, amen, it is the gladness of both lips and life. Amen. I feel like I need to say that again. Some of y'all missed it. Verses 1 and 2 is about the gladness both of lips and of life. It's not just putting on a show. It's not just saying all the right things, but amen, it is that gladness that comes from God. Amen, it is that gladness that can only be, amen, inspired and poured into our life by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen, you can't work it up. Amen, I'm not talking about, amen, I ain't talking about being fake. I'm not talking about wearing a goofy grin on your face all the time. Amen, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. Amen, that gladness, it comes from God. Gladness means blithesomeness. That's a big fancy word. And, amen, here's a word that, amen, here's a word that the homos have stolen. Amen, it's an old word, but it's that word glee. Amen, glee. That word that, amen, that just means you're overwhelmed with joy. Amen. By the way, amen, the Sodomites, they're not very gleeful. Amen. Somebody, I'm meddling now, but amen, somebody's little grandma thought their little boy acting like a sissy, that he was just, amen, special and being happy all the time. Amen. Sin ain't ever made anybody glee, have glee and have gladness and have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Only God's children know about what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. The word gladness, I like this definition. Amen. It means just simply to brighten up. To brighten up. Amen. You get a bright, to have a brighter outlook, a brighter outlook. Amen. On things said. Amen. Again, I understand there's a lot of things seem dark in this day. Amen. But I just be honest, I ain't ever looked to heaven. Amen. And seen nothing but brightness. Said. And that the Lord's in charge and He's in control. Said. And the King's still wearing the crown. He's still sitting on the throne. Said. Amen. He's still in charge and calling the shots. Amen. That ought to brighten somebody up tonight. Ought to brighten your face. You ever seen? Amen. You ever seen the spiritual Eeyores? Amen. Make their way in the house of God. Amen. The spiritual Eeyores are always sad and desponding. It. Amen. There seems, Brother Jack, to always be this. Amen. This little cloud of rain that seems to only be over them. It. Amen. Everything's so bad. It. Everything's going wrong and nothing's going good. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. The crowd, you dare not ask them how they're doing. Amen, because they ain't brightened up. And when they get done with you, you'll be under their cloud with them. Amen, discouraged as they are. Gladness means to brighten up. If we're going to come before the presence of the King, we must do so with gladness. This word gladness, oh, I'm about to preach here. Hey man, I may not get off point number one. Would that be all right if we just settle in? Hey man, we need a good dose of gladness tonight. Amen. Say, preacher, I ain't feeling it. I'm praying you'll get feeling it before we get out of here. Amen. Amen. You need to come stand up here. It's feeling pretty, amen, blithesome up here right now. But this word, amen, this word gladness, it speaks, amen, not just of a measure, but of a fullness of cheer. Have y'all read God's Word lately? Y'all remember what Jesus said when He promised us He would give us His joy? He would give us His joy. Amen. I'm glad tonight. I'm not talking about, amen, the joy that comes out of Hollywood. I'm not talking about the joy that my friend they claim to have in the honky tonks and on the dance halls and dance floors and barrooms tonight. Oh no. Amen. It's a joy that goes beyond what you find on a ball field and in a pool hall tonight. Amen. It is the joy that, amen, is the fullness of cheer that only Jesus can give. Where's your joy come from tonight?
Yes, sir.
You know how you can answer that? What did it take to make you sad today? What did it take to knock the stuffing out of you? What was it this week made you throw your head down it? Amen. Feel hopeless and discouraged. Amen. That's how you can answer that tonight. Amen. Oh, if you're looking at anything else other than Jesus. Amen. If you're looking anywhere other than upward, amen, to find a fullness of cheer, amen, you're going to be let down. You're going to fall short. Amen. But if somehow, some way, we can set our affections toward glory and get our eyes on the Lord, you know the one that had said, amen, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured some things. Amen. He faced it and he didn't get knocked down it, and he finished what he started. A lot of folk not finishing what they start because they're not finding their fullness of cheer in Christ. Oh, listen to this. I'm going to give you some things here in a minute. Hey, man, I've just determined I'm only going to get point one. That's just how we roll, all right? Hey, man, this matter of gladness, I'm particularly interested in verses 1 and 2. But Brother Adney, I think it's pretty easy to see in the whole of these five verses, there is no sadness in Psalm 100, only joy. I'm not saying there's no sadness out there. I'm not saying there ain't sadness back at the house. I'm not saying there won't be sadness on the job tomorrow. But what I am telling you in Psalm 100, there is only joy. There is only joy. Amen. You say, explain that, preacher. All I can tell you is when you start making up your mind, I want to go to the presence of the King. I want to come before His presence. All of a sudden, when you turn from the sadness and you get your eyes on Him, all of a sudden, amen, somehow, some way, I'm not saying the situation changed. I'm not saying the battles are over. I'm not saying that, amen, that the prayer requests are not there anymore. All I'm saying is something about, amen, turning and saying and looking and getting desirous to come before the presence of the King. Amen. Oh, in that there is only gladness. Say, you're preaching a fairy tale. Well, please don't wake me up. Amen. Please don't bother me tonight. Amen. It's what I'm hanging on to. Amen. I've had enough sadness. Amen. I've had enough broken hearts. Amen. In this world and in recent years. Amen. To drive the average man insane. Amen. But preacher, how you standing tonight? How'd you get up and sing? How'd you show up to preach? Amen. Through the sadness. Amen. I've learned you got to turn and say, amen, I need some gladness in my life. And if I'm going to get to God, I've got to find gladness from Him. Coming before the presence of the King with gladness. Where's your joy tonight? Hey, who stole your joy? Who stole it? Who knocked the smile out your soul? Amen. Who done that to you? So, oh, my family. Oh, my friends. Oh, I got some enemies. No, friend. Amen. We've got to get beyond all of that and realize gladness, fullness, and cheer can only come from our King. And until you look to Him to give you gladness, you'll never really be able to truly come before His presence with gladness. You see, when we're coming, oh, I'm about to preach. Oh, Lord, Brother McCann, I'm telling you, God just give me something. I ain't even wrote this down. You know, ultimately, amen, this point and the next two, Brother Jack, and we're going to study this how-to, amen, coming before the presence of the King. Psalm 100 is a how-to. Really? Really, the way we're coming before the King is, oh, Brother Gerald, you're going to wake up right here. We just take what He gives us so we can come back to Him.
Amen.
You can't come to Him if you don't receive what He gives you and then use what He's given you. Amen. To come back into His presence. Do you understand? If we got to come with gladness, we got to receive gladness from Him and be able to come into the presence of the King. Amen. 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 What I got in my soul right now, I didn't buy it down at the Walmart. I didn't find it on the Hot Deals in the Dollar General shelf. Amen. I got it from my God. I got it from my Savior. And I got to take that gladness He's given me and come before His presence with it.
Amen.
So He ain't gave me no gladness. Well, wait a minute. He done promised He gave it to us. He done gave it to us. Amen. We just got to get a hold of what we've already been given. Amen. And get a good case of it. Don't give a rip's what anybody else says, what anybody else has died. Amen. What trials and devils brought in our way. And let's hold of the gladness and the joy that Jesus gave us. Take what he's given, receive it, and then use that to come before the presence of the King. Amen. Boy, I want to give you the other two points right now so that point will get bigger. I'll say it again next week. Write that down. Make sure y'all text that to me after service so I don't forget. Amen. Come before His presence with gladness. Now here's what I've seen in verses 1 and 2. Oh, Brother Mike. Verse 1 and 2 is a description of the magnitude and the matter of the gladness that we're to come before Him with.
Amen.
It ain't small gladness. Amen. Isaac, it ain't a little handful of gladness. It ain't a thimbleful of gladness. It ain't a gallon jug of gladness. In fact, the more I'm thinking about it, I don't know if there's a way to fully measure the gladness that we can receive from Him and then use to propel us to come before the presence of our King. Amen. You say, well, what kind of gladness? Amen. Well, verse number 1, y'all. Yes, amen. I won't tell you, buckle your seatbelt. Unbuckle your seatbelt. Amen. Verse number 1, Brother Mark. We are to come with the gladness of a victorious soldier.
Amen.
Say, preacher, soldier, there ain't no soldiering going on in Psalm 100. That's because you ain't studied it lately. Psalm 100 verse 1 begins, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But Gerald, I studied that out, and that phrase, make a joyful noise. Amen. Do y'all want to know what it means? It means this. Amen. It is the triumphant shout of a soldier who has won the battle. Amen. It's somebody who's been in a war. It's somebody who's been on the battlefield. It's somebody, my friend, been fighting for their life. It's somebody whose back's been up against the wall. It's somebody who's looked the enemy eyeball to eyeball. It's somebody with a drawn, wet sword. Amen, that's been giving it all they got. They've not gave up any ground. They've not retreated. They've not surrendered. Amen, they have stood there courageously, and have fought the battle. Amen, and there comes a time in the war, amen, where that soldier stands victorious. Amen. The enemy has been put to flight, or the enemy lays at their feet. And you know what the triumphant one does? Amen. He lifts his sword and his shield. And he lifts his head to glory. And he makes a joyful noise. He makes a triumphant sound. And the battle is over.
Amen. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight. If you're a child of God, amen, can I remind you tonight? Amen, we got in this thing and we're soldiers, Seth. Amen, and we've been in a faith and we're in a battle tonight and we're putting on the armor of God and standing. But may I remind you, amen, we have already won the war. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Ain't you glad tonight? We are victorious. Child of God, you are not defeated. Amen. You may feel defeated. You may feel knocked down. You may feel within an inch of your spiritual life. Thank God the Word of God says we are victorious. We have gladness because we have won the war. I'm not preaching to losers tonight. I'm preaching to winners. Now I know in this liberal day, Brother Mike, we're living in, amen, there ain't no winners and there ain't no losers. Nobody wants to feel bad. Amen, you can't brag on being a winner and you can't feel good about being a winner. Amen, these bunch of progressives lost their mind. Amen, back there in President Trump come on the scene. Amen, I ain't making no promotion or demotion and that. Amen, about anything, but may I say it was refreshing. Amen, to have a man step up and say, amen, I'm for winning. We live in a generation, a bunch of pansies. Feel like preaching this Wednesday night. I feel like I'm on Sunday morning time. Amen. Amen. It's a generation of pansies said, amen, no winners, no losers, no. Amen. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a ribbon. They all lost their minds because, amen, our last president said, we're going to win so much you're going to get tired of winning. Amen. I didn't get tired of winning, but I'm tired of losing the last 18 months. Somebody say amen. Lord have mercy. I don't even know how I'm getting on all this. What I'm trying to get on, Brother A.L., we're living in a generation where, even sad to say, spiritually, people have forgot what it is to be a winner. Jesus didn't save us to be losers. He reached down in the depths of sin and pulled us out. Amen. Amen. He won the war for our heart and our soul and our attention. Amen. And He put us on His side. And the old songwriter surely had it right. Amen. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Amen. No more in sin out of bed. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. It is the gladness of a victorious soldier. Now, I know what some of you's thinking, but preacher, I ain't got no victory. Well, in one way you're right, and in one way you're dead wrong. There ain't one person here tonight that has victory in and of themselves. Well, preacher, I'm going to need a verse for that. I just read it to you. Make a joyful noise. Don't miss it now. Unto the Lord. Glory to God. I'm about to explode on a Wednesday night. Amen. We're running about 2/3 capacity tonight. Amen. But I'm still about to have a fit. Amen. Amen. Unto the Lord. Amen. In other words, the psalmist just said, amen, you're a victorious soldier, but don't ever forget where your victory came from. Don't ever forget the one that provided that victory for you. You're not a loser. You're a winner because the Lord is a winner. The Lord is triumphant. Amen. The one that has secured the victory has shared the victory. And now you can have the gladness of a victorious soldier. If our victory's in Him and He's done, secured it and shared it, amen, why do we walk around like a bunch of folk that's been put in captivity by the enemy? If you're on the winning side, amen, listen, any war America's ever fought and won and come back home from, them soldiers, amen, they don't come back, amen, dragging their tracks out. Amen. They don't come back. Amen. That's sad. They don't come back. Oh no, it's a time for jubilation. It's a time to say, amen, we have got the victory. Amen. We're victorious. We're on the winning side. We conquered. Thank God we're more than conquerors tonight. It's the gladness of a victorious soldier. Glad I'm on the winning side. Let me give you number two under this number one point. Amen. Ain't y'all glad I ain't going no further than number one? Not only the gladness of a victorious soldier, but there is the gladness of a voluntary servant.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. You say, preacher, you're talking about gladness being attached to being a servant. Amen. May I say tonight, boy, I got to hurry. Amen. I feel so good, I don't want to go home. Amen. But y'all do, so let's get you out of here. Amen. Those who are forced to serve will never know the gladness of laboring for the Lord. If you are forced to serve, you will not know what He's just gave commandment for us to do. You see, in your Christian life, sooner or later, you're going to have to quit trying to serve the Lord because I have to. And start serving God because you get to. Amen. Amen. That's right. Bless the Lord. Those who serve Him because they want to and because they love Him will say, I enlisted in the fight. He didn't make me. He didn't draft me. He didn't drag me. He didn't bring me by bondage. Hey man, I get to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I love Him. I want to serve Him. Oh, when you get the place where it's voluntary, that's where you'll find gladness. You say, you got any Bible for that? Exodus 21 verses 1 through 5. Amen. Under the old law, amen, the Bible said that if a man had been taken in by a master, and that man served 7 years, and the master was to let him go. Amen. It said if he came in of his own self, he left of his own self. Amen. It said if he brought a wife with him when he was brought into bondage. Amen. That his wife was to go with it. Amen. It said that if he had taken a wife while he was in the home of the master and had a wife and children, he could go. But his wife and children had to stay. But under the law, the law said if that servant says, are y'all listening? Are y'all ready? If the servant said, I love my master and I love my wife and I love my children, but he loves the master first because he loves the master most. And he says, why, the master's been so good to me. The family I got, my master gave me. And all this food I've been eating, the master put on the table. No, my master ain't been a taskmaster. He's been a good master to me. In fact, it's more like we're friends and family than we are master and slave.
Amen.
Said, I love my master. I will not go out. You know what he's doing? In the first 7 years he served because he had to. And after 7 years he realized how good he really had it. He realized what a blessing it was. Amen. And after year number 7 in the day he died, he served voluntarily. He wanted to. He loved the Master. And I say tonight, I'm glad I found the gladness of serving the Lord. You know why some of you, oh, I feel like preaching. You know why some tonight, hey man, they look at living for God as a bunch of rules and regulations and is just keeping them from doing what they want to do. You know why? You don't love the Master. And if you're just doing it, young folk, cause your mom and daddy makes you. Do it with all your might. Do it with all your heart. Do it because you love your mom and daddy. But until you do it because you love him. Till you volunteer. Say, yes, Master. Whatever I'm supposed to do, I'll do it. I love my Master. I will not go out. I don't know if it's helping nobody. I feel like I'm about to preach right here. But Jack, there's a good day in my life when I realized, amen, I didn't just have to serve it. Amen, I could serve him because I wanted to. I could serve him because I loved him. And when I realized how good I really had it. Since I've realized how good I've really got it, it's just been voluntary. So if you go by that servant and you start telling him how bad he's got it being a servant, he don't know nothing about what you're talking about. He'll tell you, shut your mouth and go on down the road. It ain't none of your business. Amen. Because what looks like rules and regulations, what looks like to those that, amen, don't love the Master as a bunch of chains and grievances, amen, all to that one that has volunteered because he loves and wants to serve the Master. Amen. You can point your finger at him and laugh at him because of how he dresses. He don't care. You mock him because he's always in church every time the doors is open. Amen. He don't care. He ain't doing it for you know how. Amen. Amen. And is this helping anybody? Do you know anything about this gladness? Do you know anything about this kind of gladness? The gladness of a voluntary servant. Man, every time I get around them, they just seem so happy. Amen. You know why? They volunteered. Amen. 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 Jesus talked about our relationship to him, that you could enter a spiritual dimension of your saved life where his commandments were not grievous. You know anything about that? I do. So I don't like how you do. I don't like who you are. Don't you know you could be a lot happier? Could I really be any more happy than I am? I don't feel like I could right now. Right now, I don't feel like it is even possible, Brother Tim, to put one more ounce of gladness in my soul. I love what I get to do. You just ain't got no burdens. You don't know the burdens I'm bearing. I got things to deal with. I'm a dreading to deal with. But somehow in the midst of all of that, there is gladness. Because, amen, I know the gladness of a voluntary servant. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'll give you the last one. There's only three under the first point. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. So we got the gladness. Y'all going to love this third one. Amen. I'm going to preach to Debbie for a minute. Amen. The gladness of a victorious soldier. The gladness, Brother Mike, of a voluntary servant. Did you catch what he said in the end of verse number 2? Come before his presence with singing. Now, if I was to transliterate the Hebrew into the King James to our hillbilly vernacular, here's the best way I could pronounce that word to make you understand. Really what he's talking about is singing. Anybody know the difference in singing and singing?
Amen.
I ain't correcting the Bible. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. See, down at Bob Jones, they do singing. 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 You know what them youngins just did over here tonight? That's singing.
Amen.
Boy, I'm so happy. I can't even tell y'all how happy I am.
Amen.
Talk about coming in the presence of our King, and He said, I want you to come with gladness. Here's how I worded it. Now, you're going to laugh at my word, but don't laugh too hard till we get it all preached out. Not only a victorious soldier and a voluntary servant, but a vivacious singer.
Amen.
Oh, I gotta read it to you how the Lord gave it to me to write down. This word singing, Brother Mike, this word singing here, it's used here not of a formal, eloquent rendition of a musical liturgy. That's what they do at other places. Amen. But it comes from a word describing a song being sung to the top of one's lungs with a smile on the face, joy in the soul and a hand lifted in praise. Amen. It means that you're singing with all your might. It means you're singing with, amen, a vivacious singer. Somebody singing with energy.
Amen.
Somebody singing with excitement.
Amen.
When I seen the word there, Jesse, when I began to put it all together and the Holy Ghost began to show me, this is what I want your gladness coming to me to be like. This is a description of it. Here's what the Spirit of the Lord reminded me of. Any of y'all ever been riding down the road? Just riding down the road. Now, I'm a people watcher. Big time. I go to the mall. My entertainment is, if I go to the mall, I don't care nothing about, amen, all the shopping, pulling the stuff off the racks. I get what I want to get. And then if family wants to keep shopping, I'll stand outside the stores and I just sit there for entertainment and watch all the zoo happen right in front of me. Amen. And amen. I won't get off on that rabbit trail, but I watch people. You ever been going down the road and you get behind somebody and you see them? They're beating on their dash, and you from behind now, you can tell they are into some kind of song. They are and I've watched them behind and on purpose get up there in front of them and watch them. And they'll be singing. You know they're singing the top of their lungs. I pulled up on them and looked at them and they've waved at me and never miss a beat. Just keep on singing. You know what they're doing? That's called a vivacious singer. Whatever. I don't know if they're singing Johnny Cash or what it is. It probably ain't godly. Hey man, maybe it is, maybe it ain't. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit, But whatever it is, their singing's done something to the inside of them, and they're happy, and they're playing the drums on their dashboard, and that's a picture of the kind of spirit God says I want you to have.
Amen.
When you come before me as your King. Not amazing grace. We're going to sing it again. Don't you remember when that song used to bless you?
Amen.
Don't you remember by the time you got to verse 3, you was about to lose your ever-loving mind?
Amen.
Yeah, back there when you first got saved. Remember first time we sung, amen, the dearest friend they ever had got these church hymnals and opened it up. Amen, I watched folk get their hand in the air and they, amen, they get real excited. If you ain't careful, you'll lose that gladness of a vivacious singer.
Amen.
Say, preacher, how do we come before the presence of the King? With gladness. He's offered it. He's secured it. He's willing to share it. He's already given it to you. You must receive that that He's given.
Amen.
Have that kind of level and magnitude of gladness in your soul.
Amen.
When you do, you'll be amazed how deep into the presence of God you can really get.
Amen.
You'll go places sad people don't even know exist.
Amen.
Amen.